Because they failed to discover and discuss this personality difference before marriage, they find themselves embroiled in a conflict that neither of them understands. In reality, they are both simply being who they are, an optimist and a pessimist. The problem is, neither of them knew who the other person was before they got married. The euphoria of the dating experience blinded them to this personality difference. Had they discussed this difference before marriage, he would have realized that she would never be a rock climber, nor would she ever go skydiving with him. He would also have realized that if he chose to do such things, he would do so in the face of great resistance from his wife. This personality difference is likely to create conflicts in the area of money management. The optimist will tend to be an adventurous investor, willing to take huge levels of risk with the hope of positive results. On the other hand, the pessimist will want to invest in more stable and secure markets. They will spend sleepless nights if the spouse pulls them into a high-risk investment. And if the investment goes south, the pessimist will blame the optimist for taking undue risks with their money. The optimist is likely to see the pessimist as being non-supportive of their ideas and thus blame the spouse for holding them back from success. The answer to this personality difference lies in understanding and accepting the differences and not condemning each other for being who they are. They must then negotiate a method of honoring each other's personality. One such plan may be to agree on a dollar amount that the couple could have in secure investments before the optimist would engage in high-risk investments. Once this minimum level of investments is in place, they could agree on a dollar amount that he could invest in a higher-risk investment with the understanding that if he lost it all, she would not condemn him. On the other hand, if the investment is successful, she commends him for his investment skills, and together they celebrate their financial success. If a dating couple is willing to negotiate these kinds of arrangements before they get married, they will save themselves many unnecessary arguments over how they will handle the finances. The same principle is true in scores of other areas in which the pessimist and the optimist are likely to have very different views about the action that should be taken. Understanding, accepting, and negotiating personality differences are essential in building a foundation for a healthy marriage. Neatniks and slobs. Then there are the neatnik and the slob. "I've never known anyone as sloppy as Ben," said Alicia. How many wives have said this about their husbands less than a year after the wedding? Interestingly, before marriage, this never bothered Alicia. Oh, she may have noticed that the car was sometimes messy or that his apartment was not as neat as she would have had it, but somehow she concluded that Ben is a more relaxed person than I am. That's good. I like that. I need to loosen up a little. Ben, on the other hand, looked at Alicia and found an angel. Isn't it wonderful that Alicia is always so tidy? Now I don't have to worry about keeping everything clean because she will take care of that. However, 3 years later, he is being bombarded with verbal stones of condemnation, to which he responds, "I don't understand why you would get so upset over a few dishes left out." Some people do live by the motto, "a place for everything and everything in its place." Other people have no compulsion to put away their tools, clothes, used coffee mugs, or anything else. After all, they may use them again in a week or two. They reason, "Why would you want to waste time picking up dirty clothes every day? Leave them on the floor until it's time to wash them. They aren't going anywhere, and they don't bother me." Yes, we are wired differently and have difficulty understanding why the other person would not see it our way. This personality difference is not hard to discover. It simply requires that during the dating time, you keep your eyes open to reality. Look at his car and his apartment, and you will know whether he is a neatnik or a slob. Look at her kitchen and her bedroom closet, and you will also know which personality pattern is natural for her. If the two of you fall into the same category, you will either have an immaculate home or a place where you have to step over the clutter. But both of you will be happy. If you fall into different categories, then now is the time for negotiation. Face reality and discuss who will be responsible for what after you are married in order to keep some level of emotional sanity. If she is willing to pick up his dirty clothes daily and put them in the laundry hamper, as his mother did when he was in high school, this is fine. However, if she expects him to be more responsible, then he must be willing to change or else hire his mother to come over daily to pick up his clothes. Certainly, a satisfactory solution can be negotiated, but the time to start negotiation is before marriage. When the Dead Sea weds a babbling brook. Another area of personality differences is related to speech. Some people talk freely about everything. Others are more thoughtful, introspective, and less likely to share their thoughts and feelings. I have often referred to the latter as the Dead Sea and the former as the babbling brook. In the nation of Israel, the Dead Sea receives waters from the Jordan River, but the Dead Sea goes nowhere. Many people have that kind of personality. They can receive all kinds of thoughts, feelings, and experiences throughout the day. They have a large reservoir in which they store the experiences of the day and are perfectly happy not to talk. In fact, if you say to a Dead Sea, "What's wrong? Why aren't you talking tonight?" they'll likely say, "Nothing's wrong. What makes you think something's wrong?" The Dead Sea is being perfectly honest. He or she is content not to talk.